Crisis Radio for our second hour. And at this point in the broadcast, as we always try to do, we want to get an update on the legal battle to expose the qualifications or lack thereof of one Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero. Where was he born? How old is he? Another interesting question. And for that, no better place to go than the source, and that would be Philip Berg of Philadelphia, Democratic Party official, Democratic Party candidate for governor and senator from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and a friend of the program. So we welcome you, Phil. Please give us an update on what's going on.
Well, my pleasure to be on with you. Significant, what we had hoped, but I mentioned on the show, I believe, last week, was this coming Monday, October 26th, 2009, we had oral argument scheduled in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals on the case of Berg versus Obama, where the judge threw us out on standing. The court has canceled the hearing, but said because they said they're going to decide the case on the briefs. We shouldn't take that as a bad sign. We can't take it as a good sign. Many times it happens that way when the court, because before the hearings they review the briefs, and it could mean that the three-judge panel has made a predetermination, or at least that they have enough facts there to make a decision on the case without oral argument. Sometimes oral argument is scheduled when the specific person has a specific question. You know, when one or the other judges have a specific question to ask counsel. So we're not going to take it as discouragement. We're going to hope. Now, last time I had a case where the court took it under advisement under the brief on the day of the oral scheduled oral argument. That's the day the opinion came out. So we could be getting opinion soon. Hopefully the judges will do what they should do, in my opinion, and grant me standing. Standing because I represent you, Webster, and everyone else in this country. And the judge's opinion, as far as I'm concerned, is outrageous because he basically said that no one has standing to challenge the Constitution of the United States, which to me doesn't make any sense. But if we're turned down, we will appeal the case. We are determined. We have two other cases, so we have a total of three cases pending. The other two cases are the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, significant, just the other day, the judge dismissed the case of the attorney in New Jersey who had a federal case pending, and he dismissed that on standing. So we'll have to see where we are. Right now there's a couple cases pending out in California, or one case with two attorneys. And then we have our three cases, which is in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia and the two in the D.C. Court of Appeals. So we feel, you know, we are the most focused. We have the most cases there, and we're determined. And what we're trying to do, and I'm spreading my wings a little here, is to raise the public awareness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done it, after the show is over, please, please go to your computer. Bring up my website, ObamaCrimes.com, 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 and make sure you spread it to everyone you know, everyone in your address book or people that you don't. Add them on as far as your friends, your neighbors, your family members, because I really believe if we raise the public awareness to 75 to 100 million people, we can force Obama to basically put up or shut up. And I really think that we can do that even before the courts make a decision, because it's outrageous. And remember, we're not only talking about the situation before how he fraudulently got on the ballot. And when I say fraudulent, because I still believe his legal name is Barry Sotura when he was adopted in Indonesia. And if he hasn't legally changed his name, he's committed fraud every time he signs his name as Barack Hussein Obama in each of the 50 states to be on the ballot. So, and since then, being sworn in as Barack Hussein Obama and signing all the legislation, I believe everything he's done is void or voidable. That's crucial. So if he hasn't legally changed his name, I think he's in deep trouble. Remember Watergate. Watergate was a break-in, something small, and what forced Nixon out in the long run was the cover-up. Well, we now have a cover-up because we have it from before the election, but definitely after the election, and while he's in the White House, we believe he's a usurper. So we have what's called, you know, a cover-up here. So I think there's many ways that we can do it, but we need the public behind us. We need more and more people to do it, and we could use some funding. It's now 15 months. We're still pursuing. I'm dedicating my efforts to this. We're not going to give up the ship. We have three cases pending, and we're going to move forward in that area. Any questions from you, Webster, right now?
So I believe the original scheduling of this was for this coming Monday, the 26th?
That's correct. Well, actually, that's a continued date. Originally, we had a date back in May 2009, which they didn't even get close on, and now this one is scheduled for this Monday, the 26th, but it's canceled. So anyone listening, please do not come. Don't spend your time, effort, and money to come here. Check our website, ObamaCrimes.com. It mentions it's been continued. As soon as we get an opinion, we will, of course, mention on your show, Webster, and post it on our website. But, so let's hope that the judges really look at it and make a decision for us and grant us standing and then send it back to the lower court, at which time I'll probably ask for Judge Surik, because his opinion was so strong against me. Probably ask him to recuse himself and go for another judge. So let's just hold our, you know, let's everyone pray out there in whatever fashion you have that the judges of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals will push aside any political connotations to this because it's not a political question, it's a legal question, and hopefully they will decide in our favor that I do have standing and we can proceed and then make motions for discovery.
Now, Bill, we have this question raised by Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee on the Senate floor about an Obama's enemies list. And you once mentioned reports, I think, coming through a Canadian website about a whole department, a bureau of the White House, which is dedicated solely to the question of the birth certificate and fighting the birth certificate and legal strategies and public relations. Do you have any more insight into that? Because it seems to me we're way beyond enemies lists. We've got enemies departments, one of them deals precisely with your issue, the birth certificate and the qualifications, natural born or not.
No, I don't have any further information on there. I looked at the enemies list. I think, I'm not sure if it was published. I think it was. But, I think I'm going to be insulted if I'm not on there.
Well, I didn't make the cut either, so that makes two of us. It was published. There's a version of it in The Globe, which is the supermarket tabloid that has paid a lot of attention to Larry Sinclair and to the birth certificate issue also. I'm not sure that that's the real enemies list. It's not clear where they got it. You see that Orly Tates is on the list. That can't be serious. Orly Tates self-destructs. You don't need to do anything to her, right? She tears herself down automatically by herself.
I didn't see her name on the list, but it gives more credibility to the fact that I think she's really working for Obama. And want to hear the funny thing now? She and through her cohorts are spreading words that I work for Obama. Please. What a joke. Everything I've done has been 100% against Obama. I used to think that this is the biggest hoax by Obama in the history of our country. I think that Obama and Michelle Obama and Howard Dean and other officials at the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and campaign officials and senior now officials of the administration should be subjected to the criminal justice system, tried, and those convicted should go to jail. So if anyone thinks I'm working for Obama, please, it's not worth wasting your time talking about. And again, it's coming from Orly and her cohorts. They put out all kinds of trash. But in the long run, we see that I am there with three cases in federal court producing the most legitimate efforts against Obama, while Orly has been fined $20,000, and she refuses to pay it. So I can't wait to see what happens there, because I think she has handled herself very unprofessionally. And I appreciate being on your show, and everyone go to ObamaCrimes.com.
We'll see you next week, Phil. Keep on keeping on, and obviously give Phil a contribution, ObamaCrimes.com, and we'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
Media Public Radio.
Radio. Now, let's just pick up the issue that came up now talking to our good friend Phil Berg of ObamaCrimes.com. That's this Obama enemies list, the hit list, and let's see what we have here. This was raised on the Senate floor by Senator Lamar Alexander, who reminded Obama that he had worked in the Nixon administration, and once you start with enemies lists, that ends very badly. I would bet my bottom dollar that there are departments of the Obama White House. You have actual functionaries, worker bees in the White House who work on such issues as the birth certificate issue, the Larry Sinclair accusations. But let's look in that fascinating supermarket tabloid, the Globe magazine, Obama hit list. Under relentless assault from a mob of vicious critics, President Barack Obama has drawn up a secret list of enemies he aims to take down one by one. And we've got Michelle getting into the act on this, and how angry Obama gets when lèse majesté is committed, people who don't give sufficient deference due to the Anointed One and the Messiah. So the Globe publishes what they claim, alleged claim to be, 25 enemies Obama wants to silence. And this is a Globe exclusive. Sources expose whom the president hates and why they made his roster revenge. Now, I'm skeptical about some of this, right? There is an attempt here to make this right-wingers and conservatives attacking Obama, which is not the reality. But let's see who's on the list. Glenn Beck, well-known reactionary windbag, substance abuser. You know him, alcoholic, what else? Second, though, Larry Sinclair. Now, that's authentic. Author claims he took drugs and had gay sex with Obama. Well, you want to follow up on that? Larry Sinclair's book, a great place to start. Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder by Lawrence W. Sinclair. You can get that at Barnes & Noble as well as elsewhere. Number three, Republican Joe Wilson called Obama a liar. Four, Sarah Palin. Five, Sean Hannity. Six, Orly Tates. This one doesn't convince me. California attorney who heads the birther movement? That's nonsense. You just heard from the head of the birther movement. That's Phil Berg, which claims Obama was born in Africa and his presidency is illegal. Seven, Pat Boone says Obama's a socialist. Well, John Voight, the father of Angelina Jolie, attacks Obama. He's on the list. Rush Limbaugh, Motormouth radio host. 10, Ann Coulter, what can we call her, this reactionary harpy. Rupert Murdoch is up there. Number 12, Jesse Jackson? Well, I don't know. Dick Cheney, number 13. 14 is Bill O'Reilly. 15, Toby Keith, country singer, who says that, he's got something to say about Obama, and he doesn't like him. 16, Rex Rammel, GOP contender for governor of Idaho. 17, Hank Williams Jr. supported McCain Palin and has some remarks that Obama doesn't like the Star Spangled Banner. 18, Stephen Anderson, pastor of the Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, is wishing Obama to be sent to the other world because of his stance on abortion rights. 19, Saul Anousis, ex-chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, calls Obama's policies economic fascism. Well, then got some merit in that accusation. 20, Bill Cunningham, Cincinnati radio host. 21, Paul Krugman, professor of economics at Princeton, has called Obama's economic advisors tools of Wall Street. Well, that's also an accusation with real merit. 22, John Rich, the country music Big and Rich duo. He says that Johnny Cash would have voted for McCain. 23, Wiley Drake, Buena Park, California pastor, praying for usurper Obama and his demise. 24, Alex Jones, the maker of anti-Obama films, The Obama Deception, and The Fall of the Republic, the presidency of Barack H. Obama. Well, get into the merit of that. Fall of the Republic, just out yesterday, the day before. InfoWars.com, Prison Planet, Michelle.com and 25 Michelle Mark Malkin, another reactionary harpy. Now, I think that one has been heavily edited in order to get this cast of reactionaries and conservatives, so-called, mostly reactionaries, right-wing radicals, against Obama. I don't think some of those names are authentic, but some of them are. Larry Sinclair, Alex Jones, hats off to you. Being on the list is a badge of honor. Those of us who didn't make the cut, like Phil Berg and myself, are obviously not happy with the Globe. Maybe we have to write a letter to the editor and say, look here, you've missed the big picture. Now, connected to this, Obama's attack on Fox News. Everybody wants to know, why does he do this silly stuff? Why attacks Fox News? Well, remember, Obama needs left cover like he needs air to breathe. Without left cover, he is nothing. The policies are the same as Bush-Cheney or worse than Bush-Cheney, quite often worse. So how does he get away with it? Remember, Obama's principal argument, the reason he was given the Nobel Peace Prize, is his contention, I'm not George Bush, I'm not George Bush. Obama continues to bank on the hatred of Bush and the reactionary Republicans, the debacle of the Bush years, Bush-Paulson, Bush-Katrina, you name it, right? One catastrophe after another. So he's got to keep reminding people, especially his left liberal base. Obama's left liberal base now not happy because of imminent escalation in Afghanistan. Left liberal base not happy because Obama's continued waffling betrayals on the health care issue. So he's got to keep them in line some way. And the way he does it is to get into big public fights with well-known reactionary ogres like Hannity, like Glenn Beck, and so forth. So that's the reason. Now, somebody who does not understand this is Michael Moore. Michael Moore posts something on his website, get off Obama's back, second thoughts from Michael Moore. So Michael Moore says when Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, Michael Moore put out a statement saying to Obama, now earn it. And his wife says, aren't you being too hard on Barkey? Is that the way to talk to him? Give him a break. You know, it's a great day for Obama and for all of us. So now Michael Moore basically says, yes, we've got to cut Barkey some slack. He's moving too slow, but he needs to know that we are with him and we stand beside him as he attempts to turn 8 years of sheer madness around. And nobody can do this in just 9 months. And therefore, let's be nice to Barkey. Let's, and he says, all I ask is for those who voted for Obama, don't pile on him too quickly. Well, this is exactly wrong, and I'll tell you why when we come back. Hit him again hard from the left, and you'll get somewhere, Mike.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Crisis Radio. So we're lecturing Michael Moore on his ineptitude. This idea, let's not pile on against Barkey. Let's be nice to Barkey. This is exactly wrong. This is the stupidest, most counterproductive thing you can do. You run into people saying, oh, I went to all kinds of peace demonstrations under Bush and it had no effect. Exactly, because Bush didn't need left cover. The more peace demonstrations there were, the better Bush looked to his own reactionary, crazed base. The difference with Obama is if you attack him from the left as a warmonger, as a Wall Street puppet, as a sellout on the progressive issues that the left liberals care about, you hurt him really bad. That's why he's always looking to pick fights with Fox, with Hannity, with Limbaugh, and the assorted ogres of the right wing. That's how Obama functions. Now, ironically, you've now gotten to a point where peace demonstrations of a few hundred thousand people in Washington would be devastating for Obama. They would have a real effect you could really stop these wars. And this is exactly the moment where all the left liberal fakers, like Michael Moore, come out of the woodwork and say, oh, no, we've got to go easy on Barkey. He's our man. He's having such a rough time. He's so tired. He's under such attack. We've got to be solid with Obama, circle the wagons, and all the rest of it. This is the time when a determined primary challenge to Obama in the Democratic primaries could end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and also get you somewhere on health care. Let's talk about health care for a minute. The word now is that the House Democrats are approaching 218 votes. They may already have them to put a public option into this health care reform. I am very skeptical about this, but it may be true. And there are some people who say even in the Senate, a public option could go through. The provisos are, of course, that it would have an opt-out for certain states. Certain reactionary states would say, no, we don't want it. Or better yet, the oligarchs who run certain reactionary states would say no, and then the rest of us Okies and rednecks would be deprived of health care in those states. Good reason to leave those states if you happen to be in one, but that's the way it goes. This is being pushed by Schumer of New York. In other words, he wants to make it easier for this to go through. So here's the problem. There's a lot of euphoria coming from the Ed Schultz camp on left-wing talk radio that they are now about to enact the public option. There are even suggestions that it's going to be linked to Medicare, Medicaid in some form, although it's not the same thing. I would say, first of all, I want to know about the $500 billion of cuts to Medicare, because that's the deal breaker. Obama wants $500 billion of cuts to Medicare, and that is going to kill people. That is totally unacceptable. We don't want it. But here's what I think is likely to happen. The House will say we want a public option. The Senate will say, no, we don't want a public option. What will Obama do? Obama will stab you in the back. Obama will go with the Senate fat cats, bought and paid for by the insurance companies, and he will say, no public option. So left liberals, get your backs ready. The knife is about to go in. You will be stabbed in the back. The only way to head that off is to attack Obama mercilessly as a Wall Street puppet, as a tool of the insurance companies, meeting secretly with the insurance companies, meeting secretly with Big Pharma, making dirty deals, selling you out, an absolutely unprincipled adventurer, a cynical demagogue who couldn't care less about any of these things, a megalomaniac in a delirium of narcissism who couldn't care less about the general welfare of the American people. If you go out and attack him that way, you actually get somewhere, because that stuff really hurts. The right-wing attacks don't hurt him. They help him. Left-wing attacks are absolutely precious. And just at this moment, when the left liberals could accomplish something by asserting principles, anti-war principles, and general welfare principles on health care, the left liberals, with Michael Moore at the helm, wilt and do nothing. So strip away Obama's left cover, you get somewhere. Be nice to Obama. I've seen this also coming from elements of the Mike Gravel camp from the last election. Obama's not the enemy. Yeah, he is. Obama is your enemy. Obama is the political factotum of the Wall Street ruling class. So you've got to stop him, and then maybe you get something through. But otherwise, I can see the betrayal coming. So left liberals, brace yourself. Your darling is going to betray you. He will disappoint you. He will betray you, and then he will attack you. So get ready for that. Now, concerning the war escalation, Cheney attacks Obama. He's dithering. Well, of course he's dithering. He is. This is a funny thing, right? He's got the weak side of Mussolini, I guess. He's got the indecisive side, not ready to enter the war. You can go back to 1940, find all kinds of interesting parallels. But the idea is, yes, Obama certainly is dithering. He's afraid to send the 40,000. There's also a charade going on here. The idea is that Karzai is being forced into a runoff. This was done by Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, the rich elitist and effete snob. He was the last rich elitist and effete snob that we had from the Democrats before Obama. So now there's going to be a runoff. The runoff is going to be held on November 7th, which in Afghanistan is already the middle of winter with all kinds of snow. Remember, 38% of the voters in Afghanistan took part on the first round, and that will be even lower on the second round. It will be a Karzai victory. There's no way that Abdullah can prevail in this, but there it is. Pakistan is in civil war at this point. There's an offensive by 30,000 troops in Waziristan. There have been attacks on the Pakistani army headquarters in Rawalpindi 2 weeks ago, assassinations of senior Pakistani officers, suicide bombs, and all the rest. So the strategy, once again, is use the U.S. military presence in Afghanistan to drive the Taliban. Of course, Taliban means what? Means a congeries, a completely heterogeneous collection of warlords, drug runners, rebels, fanatics, adventurers, freebooters, pirates, highwaymen, you name it. They're being driven into Pakistan for the purpose of fomenting civil war. In the middle of this, we have the terror attack on the Iranian Pasdaran Revolutionary Guards in the Balochistan province of southeast Iran. This is Jundullah. And as I had occasion to remark on Russia Today this past week, look at the Russia Today website. This is coming directly from the CIA. London Daily Telegraph, 25 February 2007. We're told that a high-ranking ex-CIA official says it's not a big secret that funding for separatists like Jundullah comes directly from the CIA classified budget. And we have one guy on the record, Fred Burton, former U.S. State Department counterterrorist official. These attacks, earlier attacks by Jundullah, fall in line with U.S. efforts to supply and train Iran's ethnic minorities to destabilize the regime. So it's not just the top-down CIA coup faction of Mousavi and Rafsanjani, not just the death to Russia, death to China faction of rich elitists from North Tehran and desperate housewives from that same place. Not just the Green Revolution, the attempted people power coup. There's also the ethnic separatism card. This includes Kurds. It includes Azeris. It includes Turkmen. It includes Baluchis. And again, Arabistan, the Arab minority of Iran along the coast of the Gulf, the Persian or Arabian Gulf, as you prefer. That's the oil area. That's the Abadan oil refinery, the Karg Island tanker terminal. That's where we have the BP Liberation Front, British Petroleum Liberation Front, because if you detach them, that's who's going to own that oil. That would leave an landlocked, no-oil Iranistan for the Persians in the middle. That's the goal. A couple of more words about this in a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. We got to wrap up some themes here in our last segment. Let's just wrap up on Jundullah. Go to the Russia Today website and see what I have to say about it. 5 minutes worth, all in a nutshell. Anyway, not just the London Daily Telegraph, but also Brian Ross of ABC Television News revealed that the CIA pays for Jundullah. And Seymour Hersh, writing in the New Yorker, quotes Robert Baer, ex-CIA, saying that that money comes from the U.S. CIA budget. Let's also remember the Iranians are accusing the U.S., Britain, Israel, and Pakistan. Pakistan is where this stuff is based. I wouldn't blame Pakistan for acceding to tremendous pressure from the imperialists to have that operate there. The problem is that Balochistan is going to carve Pakistan as well. That's the location of the port of Gwadar, tremendously strategic. That's where the Chinese need to build a pipeline up through the Pakistani energy corridor over the Himalayas and into China. That would save 10,000 miles of Anglo-American infested waters for the Chinese oil tankers. And if you could build an Iran through Pakistan into China pipeline, so much the better. So no doubt about that. These are acts of war. It's time to stop this. Does Obama get the Nobel Peace Prize for that one, too? Why doesn't Obama come out and condemn the Jundullah attack as acts of war and terrorism? Haven't heard anything from Barkey on that. He's contemplating himself in the mirror, I guess, in his Nobel Peace Prize, the narcissist. What we're going to need, of course, I'm wondering, at the Democratic National Convention in 2012, will we have the equivalent of Khrushchev's secret report to the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union in 1956. You'll remember back then, Khrushchev revealed in a secret report that was then obtained by Alan Dulles and the CIA the crimes of Stalin, the cult of personality of Stalin. Who's going to give the report on the cult of personality of the narcissist Obama at the Democratic Convention in 2012? Right now we need, if you will, we've got all these czars. We've got 35 czars, more czars than the House of Romanov. Why don't we have an October revolution against Obama's czars? The peace movement has done some things on the 5th and 6th of October, the October 17th. They've sort of twitched a little bit. It's not enough. And some of these people now say, okay, now we go into winter quarters. No more demonstrations until March. Baloney. You've got all of November, all of December. It's very warm in Washington right now. Let's have some demonstrations, please, from the left liberals. If you're not foundation funded, time to come out and do something in that regard. Obama today is speaking at MIT. He's touting cap and trade, this monstrous trillion-dollar tax on U.S. agricultural and industrial production that will cause hundreds of millions of deaths in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. We're hoping that China and India will hang tough. Keep your united front. Do not allow the imperialists to dictate binding carbon targets. That will strangle your development. Copenhagen must fail. And that cap-and-trade monstrosity is coming up in the Senate next week. So let's try to have a two-pronged attack against Obama's genocidal health plan, the looting of Medicare to the tune of $500 billion, and the looting of the U.S. economy to the tune of $1 trillion under the auspices of cap-and-trade, cap-and-tax, Prince Philip's delight, Al Gore's revenge, what have you. Now let's look at program, science of economic program. This is absolutely crucial. We'll be talking about this in the remaining time today and continuously now over the next couple of weeks. If you go back to Germany in the Depression, 1930, 31, 32, you will see that as German unemployment climbed towards 30% officially and probably 37 to 40% in reality, there were people who came up with economic plans to fight the Depression, fight unemployment, defend democratic institutions, and prevent the collapse of society that was then presided over by Hitler and the National Socialists. We've talked about some of these in the past. You have Lautenbach from the Economics Ministry, who recommends a job creation program. You've got a guy called Wagemann, who talks about a job creation program. And you've got the very interesting economist W.S. Wojtynski, who came over in the U.S. and had quite a career to the end of the 1950s. And he was talking about the same thing. This is the famous Wojtynski-Tarnow-Bader program, espoused by the German trade unions, right, the ADGB, Allgemeine Deutsche Gewerkschaftsbund. The basic convergence of these points is 2 billion Reichsmarks of the time to build roads and railroads. Good example, the Autobahn. The German Autobahn, the first really ambitious program of building. This could have been done in 1930, 1931 under democratically elected auspices. And it could have stopped Hitler, because it would have meant that the 1 to 2 million unemployed who would have been pulled into productive jobs in the Autobahn would no longer have been available for recruitment to the Nazi SA, the stormtroopers, the brown shirts. And that was the argument, except that Brüning, Chancellor Heinrich Brüning, wanted more deflation. And he was interested in cutting the unemployment benefits. He wanted to destroy the social safety net because he thought that this was unsustainable and the bosses and the bankers didn't want to pay it. So he essentially kept going on this lunatic course of deflation until democratic institutions had been destroyed. So what we can learn from the tragedy of the German people, which then became a tragedy for all of Europe and indeed the world with hundreds of millions of deaths, is that it's time to come in there in a timely way with an economic recovery program. Now, I put forward the elements of this in the past, but now I've got it boiled down to two pages, and this is going to be issued now in the course of the next week. I'll just give you the headline right now. 30 million productive jobs. That's what we need. We need 30 million new productive jobs, well-paid, union pay scales, not low-wage, dead-end, minimum wage plus X jobs, but 30 million new productive, well-paid jobs to rebuild U.S. infrastructure, industry, and agriculture. This is the program to end the world economic depression. You can look for this at tarpley.net probably towards the end of this week. Again, 7 to 10 days, that upgrade will be ongoing. You'll find it at actindependent.org also quite soon. We have a deepening world economic depression. Again, 550,000 people lost their jobs the week before last. This depression will not end through some kind of a magical cycle. There is no such thing. You got to do five things. We'll do the details over the coming weeks. First, measures to cut speculation and minimize the burden of fictitious capital. Claw back the TARP, but above all, shut down the zombie banks. Tax derivatives, Tobin tax, 1%. Outlaw credit default swaps, outlaw adjustable rate mortgages, stop foreclosures, put a 10% upper limit on credit cards, re-regulate commodities and other markets. Secondly, nationalize the Federal Reserve, 0% credit for production, 0% federal lending, not federal spending. Stop borrowing from zombie banks. Stop borrowing from foreigners. Be your own bank. You lend. U.S. government lends, doesn't borrow. We had enough of borrowing. The U.S. government properly manages the most powerful institution in the world still today. Why should you be keeping zombie bankers alive with life support and then borrowing money from them at exorbitant rates? Why borrow from foreigners when you can generate your own sovereign credit, 0% federal credit? So start putting out tranches of $1 trillion. And you will go towards creating 30 million new productive jobs. Keep issuing those tranches until you get to full employment. If you get to full employment, it will be the first time since 1945 that anybody has seen it. So it means for production only, not financial services, not banking, not stock jobbing, but industry, agriculture, construction, mining, retail sales, energy production, transportation, infrastructure, scientific research, plus rail, transit, and so forth. Anything productive, you go to the head of the line. Bankers are invited to take their chances in that free market they love so much. Anyway, we've got 5 points here. 30 million jobs in 5 years. Rebuild the economy, improve wages, standards of living, productive investment, full employment, and higher capital investment per job. We'll be giving more details. See you next week on World Crisis Radio.